Ever feel like you're getting a glimpse into lives just happening on the other side of the world? That's what today's deep dive is really all about.
Okay.
We're cracking open Breida this week 40. It's a collection of these conversations from this global community curated by their leader, Frank.
Yeah, it's not just the global aspect that's intriguing, though.
Right.
It's the way these like little snippets offer a window into the everyday, you know, the seemingly insignificant moments that actually reveal quite a bit about us, you know, as humans.
Absolutely. And you know me, I'm always fascinated by how these very ordinary conversations can spark some seriously profound insights. Take this one from Brazil, for instance. We meet Ismar, who's running for local office,
Okay.
and he's, deep in the trenches of campaigning.
Right.
He says something that feels almost universal.
And everyone just nods along in agreement.
Let me take a stab at it. Did he
Well,
say something along the lines of, "We just need more money"?
you've got to be kidding me. That's exactly it. It's almost like a reflex. Everyone just assumes that more resources are the answer. But the conversation takes an interesting turn when they dig a little deeper into the assumptions behind that statement.
It's a trap we all fall into, whether it's government, business, even personal projects. We equate funding with solutions. The reality is far more nuanced. Like, they were discussing sometimes additional resources without addressing that root cause can actually mask the problem.
It's like putting a fancy bandage on a broken bone.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure, it looks better on the surface.
But you haven't solved the real issue. Why do you think we're so quick to jump to this more money solution, though? Is it laziness, lack of creativity, or something else entirely?
I think it's multifaceted. Part of it might be our desire for a quick fix. Money often seems like the fastest way to see tangible results. But there's also a systemic element at play. We're conditioned to believe that success hinges on securing more resources, whether that's funding for a project, a bigger marketing budget, or even just a larger salary.
It's almost as if we've been trained to see resources as the primary measure of success,
Yes.
which can make it harder to recognize alternative solutions.
Precisely. And this is where shifting our thinking becomes crucial. Instead of asking, how can we get more money to solve this? What if we asked, what's the underlying issue here, and what are the most effective ways to address it, regardless of resources?
That's a powerful reframing. It forces you to be more creative and think outside the box. I'm already feeling inspired to apply this to my own life, but for now, let's hop over to France, where Frank's conversation with Sylvie reveals something quite unexpected about language. Okay, so picture this: Frank is catching up with Sylvie, who lives in France,
Okay.
and they're chatting about something totally ordinary, local markets, favorite restaurant.
Sounds delightful so far. What's the hidden layer here? There's always a hidden layer.
What? Here's the twist. Frank has known Sylvie for ages,
Okay.
but their conversations have always been in English.
Right.
This time he overhears her speaking French with her friends, and it's like he's meeting a whole new Sylvie.
I've been in those situations myself where someone switches to their native tongue and their whole demeanor transforms. What was it about Sylvie's French that struck him?
He realized that he was getting this glimpse into a side of her personality that even fluent English couldn't fully capture.
A certain je ne sais quoi, as they say.
I know, right? It really got him thinking, even when we're fluent in another language, can we ever truly convey the nuances of our native tongue? It's like each language unlocks a different part of who we are.
It's a brilliant observation, and one that touches on the idea of linguistic relativity. The theory that the language we speak shapes our thoughts and perceptions of the world. There are certain expressions, idioms, even ways of structuring sentences that simply don't translate directly. Think about trying to explain the concept of saudade in Portuguese to someone who's never experienced that deep longing for something lost.
Oh, or how about the word Waldeinsamkeit in German, that feeling of solitude and connection with nature?
Exactly.
Some things just can't be captured in a single word in another language.
Exactly. And those nuances can have a real impact, particularly in professional environments where clear communication is critical. Imagine negotiating a contract or managing a team where everyone is navigating these cultural and linguistic differences. Misinterpretations can easily arise from those subtle shades of meaning that get lost in translation.
It makes you realize that true cross-cultural communication goes beyond just vocabulary and grammar. It's about understanding the cultural context and emotional weight that language carries.
It's a skill that's more valuable than ever in our increasingly interconnected world. But speaking of appreciating the unique value of things, let's move on to Lartin's story, which brings us face to face with our relationship with technology.
So Frank is chatting with this guy, Martin, who's on the cutting edge of technology in his professional life.
Okay.
But here's the kicker at home. Martin's a self-proclaimed vintage tech enthusiast.
Oh, interesting.
We're talking turntables over touchscreens the whole nine yards.
It's almost paradoxical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone immersed in the latest tech, but drawn to the simplicity and, dare I say, the imperfections of older technology in their personal life.
It's like he's rebelling against this constant pressure to upgrade, you know?
Right.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, is his motto. And what's funny is that this vintage philosophy is now becoming trendy.
It speaks to a larger trend we're seeing.
Yeah.
This desire for a digital detox, a return to analog experiences.
Right.
We're bombarded with notifications, updates, the pressure to be constantly connected.
Yeah.
It's no wonder people are craving a slower, more intentional way of life.
It's like that old saying, everything old is new again. But this time around, it feels like more than just a passing fad.
Right.
It's a conscious choice to simplify.
Yes.
To disconnect from the digital overload.
And to rediscover the beauty of things that were designed to last, to be appreciated for their craftsmanship and simplicity. In a world obsessed with the newest, shiniest object, there's a certain quiet satisfaction in owning something that stood the test of time.
It definitely makes you question your own relationship with technology, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Are we using it to enhance our lives, or is it starting to control us? Maybe we could all use a little vintage thinking in our approach to tech.
I like that.
Speaking of control or the illusion of it, our final conversation takes us deep into the heart of the modern workplace.
Okay.
Frank Ritesh from India and Monica from Australia got together to unpack this idea that just because your job title screams autonomy, it doesn't mean you're truly calling the shots.
Ah, the age-old struggle for true autonomy in the workplace.
Right.
It's something many of us grapple with, regardless of our profession or position.
Ritesh was talking about how his workload, the type of projects that land on his plate, even the sheer amount of time certain tasks require. All of these factors chip away at his sense of agency, even in a role that's designed to be independent.
It's the difference between being handed a destination and being given a meticulously planned itinerary. Sure, you'll technically reach the same endpoint.
Yeah.
But the level of control and creativity you have over the journey itself is worlds apart.
It's like being on a track versus exploring an open field, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And the kicker is that so many of these constraints are often invisible or presented as non-negotiable aspects of the job.
Exactly. So how do we reconcile this desire for autonomy with the realities of the modern workplace? It requires us to become more aware of these subtle forces that shape our choices and priorities at work.
It's about asking ourselves, am I truly the captain of this ship, or am I just steering within a very narrow channel?
Yes.
And perhaps more importantly, how can we advocate for ourselves and create more space for genuine agency in our work lives?
It's a continuous process of reflection, negotiation, and pushing boundaries. And it starts with recognizing that true autonomy often lies in the choices we make within the constraints we're giving.
This has been an incredible journey through Brita this week 40. It's amazing how these snapshots of conversations from around the world can spark such thought-provoking questions about the way we live, work, and interact with the world around us.
What strikes me is how Frank has created this digital campfire, a space for people to share their experiences and learn from each other regardless of geographical boundaries. He's harnessing the power of technology to foster genuine human connection.
It makes you wonder how else we can use technology to bridge those gaps and build a stronger sense of global community. What if we all had a Frank in our lives, curating those serendipitous encounters that expand our perspectives and challenge our assumptions?
That's a powerful question to ponder as we navigate our increasingly interconnected world. It's a reminder that the most meaningful connections often start with a simple conversation.